You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Morning, everybody. It is great to be here today with all the excitement and the celebration and the fortitude in our community with the Race for the Cure. Just driving down here and knowing there's 15,000 people out there joining together to find a cure for cancer. It's incredible. So we're all excited here at the radio station today, too, because really people are pulling together to try to help us live happier, healthy lives free of disease. So in saying that, in my introduction, welcoming everybody back to Radio Rehab, I always like to first start by thanking you all that support this show and that call in and that write letters. And there's always interesting letters for us to read from you all, the listeners, and things that you want to hear about. But this particular person writes in and never signs his or her name, but helps guide us here at Radio Rehab about what to talk about and what things interest the community, because you all are the pulse of the community and we take that seriously here at WEOA. Anyway, this particular person has written several times, and in his last letter sent a notice of a church in Indianapolis that recognizes addictive disorders and substance abuse and what it's doing to the community, especially in the minority community. And they have a support group at their church called Higher Powered. And they have people in recovery and not in recovery coming and supporting people that want to get clean and sober. And he sent me this article. I'm going to pass this on to some of the ministers in our community, that maybe some of our churches here that are already helping serve the addicted and the troubled substance abuser may want to do some of these groups. And thank you, whoever sent this, for giving us the name, address, 800 number, everything we need to get in touch with these people in Indianapolis. This would be awesome to do in Evansville. So anyway, a public thank you from us for your concern and your recommendation for us to get involved with this higher-powered ministry in Indianapolis. That would be a great collaboration. Well, on to our guest. We had Terry here a year ago or so with some other friends of hers that have been friends of Radio Rehab, and she shared her recovery. She's from Henderson, Kentucky, has worked in the treatment field, and has an incredible story of courage and hope to share on this Race for the Cure Day. So I am going to let her share her story with us. Don't hesitate to call 424-1400. If you have any questions or concerns that we can answer for you, we're here to do that. So having said that, I've known Terry. She's an incredible strength of recovery and very honest and candid about how dirty and nasty addictive disorders can get and how painful it can be for the family that watches our addicted people go down the tubes. So Terry's going to share her first 20 minutes, her story with us, and then we'll open it up for discussion. Hi, Terry.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon already. Did you see all those Race for the Cure people down there when you drove from Henderson?
No, I was at my church, but I seen some coming back through.
And you're racing for a cure, too. I don't know.
Yes, I am.
For the addictions and stuff. So anyway, thanks so much for coming. So tell us a little about
you. Thank you. I started out when I was like 19 years old. I come from a pretty nice family. I have two other sisters. I have a sister named Cindy. She's the middle girl. April is the baby girl. Also, my sister Cindy, she's in recovery also. I started out drinking when I was like 18. It led to pot, and then after that, I was a full-blown addict with crack cocaine, and it just took me down the road that I've never been down. It caused me a lot of problems with my family. I lost their trust, their love, and you know, they had to give me that tough love. I've been in and out of jail part of my life, and I have two children. Due to that, I have a son that's locked up now for 15 years because he was a drug dealer. And really, I'm okay with that today because he sees what it has done to me and done to his family and his life. I have a daughter, and she's in college, and she's really trying to go down the right road today. For me, I know that I wrote bad checks. I stole from people. I stole from my parents. I got out. I mean, I've sold my body for drugs. I've stolen from my parents. I've stolen from my kids also. And my parents ended up having to raise my children because I didn't care at the time. I was out there running wild, staying out all times of the night, sleeping around, you know. And I came to the point where I was just sick and tired. I ended up the last time I went to jail, I collapsed in the parole office when I turned myself in. I thought I was basically dying. I thought I had basically killed myself from using crack cocaine, from smoking it so much. And turn around, I thought that was a way out. I thought since I went to the hospital that my parole officer was going to let me go home. But no, he saw fit. He said, no, you're going to jail. I done 5.5 months there. He told me I was going to go into a long-term treatment center. And so I sat there for a long time. 5.5 months is a long time to me.
I called
my dad, and I told my dad, I said, they're not trying to get me in a treatment center. Is there something you can do to help me this time? I'm sick and tired of living like this. And basically, I got to the option to, I didn't want to live no more. I didn't have a purpose in life. You know, my family had gave me tough love. They wasn't talking to me barely. They wasn't supporting me no more. You know, and my family was a big enabler to me. Every time I asked for money, they gave it to me to a certain extent till they was tired of giving me their money. So a big shout out goes to Sharice Benson. She helped me get in this treatment center. She worked with my father, you know. And, I mean, I owe it all to God, which I choose to call is my higher power. Without him, I wouldn't have made it. And without the support group of AA, NA, I wouldn't have been able to make it and changing my life around. But one thing I know that I have to change everything about me, work on, I have to continue doing this daily. It's not an overnight process. I will be changing my life for the rest of my life. I did have to change them old person places or things. I can speak to them people today and talk to them, but I choose not to hang out with them today.
Can you tell when somebody's using?
Yes, I can. I can look at the eyesight, mm-hmm. or either I can get the feeling. I can get the vibe that they are on drugs or something like that. So that's when I back myself away. I do have the tools to use if I get in a situation. I no longer work at the Warm Center, and I'm okay with that today because I had to step out on faith and learn how to live life on life's terms. It's marvelous. I wouldn't trade my life today for anything in the world. I'm a certified home health aide now. I do private care also for sick people. I figured I just wanted to stay in that field. If I'm not helping an alcoholic and addict, then I want to be helping the sick also. It's a rewarding job. One thing that I do know today is I don't have to settle for less. I can shoot for my dreams and go for them. I don't have to stop at anything. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. One other thing I'd like to say is one of the things you do have to do is go to meetings, call your sponsor, you know, work the steps. That's a big thing. You have to apply them steps in your life. I mean, sometimes you might not, but if you get off track, you can hop right back on track. I left the Warm Center December the 4th. And there's always been a dream. I had a dream when I was in recovery that I would walk in and find my grandmother either laying out on the floor or either I would find her dead. Well, one morning I called and she didn't answer the phone. I usually talk to her every morning. She didn't answer the phone and I called my dad at work. And he told me where the key was to get in the house, and I went in, and she was laying on the floor, had had a massive heart attack. That was the hardest thing that I've ever had to go through in my life. I lost her January the 22nd, and that was the hardest thing I ever had to deal with. Then turn around, I had a stepfather that had passed with cancer. I lost him June the 24th. And also in private care, I've lost one of my clients. And all three of them people, I'll change that. Two of the people, I was standing right there at their bedside when they passed, holding their hand. One of them, I walked right in, and they just had passed right before I got to work. I stayed sober through all of this, and I know it's only through my higher power and changing my life. I wouldn't have been a part of this if I had still been out there in my addiction. I'm really glad that I've cleaned my life up and straightened my life up, because today I can ride around, and when I ride around and look at people that is on drugs, I look at myself and I say that I am a miracle. I know that I'm a miracle today. I've got a mom. She's been sick. She had pneumonia. My dad's been sick. I've been there to support my family like I should. I've been there to take care of them. And that's what it's all about, is giving back what's been given to you. At one time, they had to take care of me. So now I get to see what it's really all about. And it really makes me feel good that I could be there for them today. Right now, I'm just enjoying life. Enjoying recovery, enjoying being clean and sober, learning how to make new decisions and new choices, making good choices, not bad choices.
Sounds like your life is so full.
My life is full, and I stay really busy. And what I do, I try to stay busy to keep from, you know, thinking about my stepfather, my grandmother, the client I used to work for. You know, they were a part of my lives. And if I sit around, I get in my head too long and I'll get in that depressed mode. And they want me to shine. They want me to do what they, you know, I'm glad they stayed alive long enough to see me clean and sober. That's what it's all about. Now I know they're looking down on me saying, "You go, girl." And yes. It's just, I'm really blessed. I'm glad I'm sober, and I'm just overwhelmed.
Well, you've been clean for 4 years, and it's obvious you're so excited every day you get up and you're in a clean and sober frame of mind.
Well, she's saying 4 years, and I don't want to tap it on the head, but it's 3.5. I'll have 4 years March the 5th. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Yeah.
We better not. You know, it's a day at a time.
It's one day at a time.
Thanks for correcting that. Yeah, that's important.
I'm back in church, working in church, and I know it's not affiliated with AA. You have to keep them separated, and I'm okay with that. But I'm just really glad to be here today.
Well, this is going to be an incredible discussion. I'm glad you're here. It's obvious that your life is full. Do you think that those of us prone to addictive disorders or substance abuse problems have difficulty with sadness and grief and disappointment? Do you think we, probably no different than anybody else, but those are feelings that a lot of people in recovery have difficulty with?
Yes, and I can say this. To me, it depends on your relationship with your higher power. And to me, I was brought up, you know, knowing faith. God and on faith and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was hard on me dealing with my family member's death. But, you know, I know there's a better place and we'll all reunite one day.
So you have incredible faith. I was telling you before we started, and we'll go to break here in a second, this meditation a friend sent me.
Yes, you was telling.
Yeah, don't take your big problems to God. Take, what was it?
God to the enemy.
Yeah, take your big God to your problems or something like that. Yeah,
yes.
I thought that was cool. So that's kind of where you turn, huh, into your prayer.
Yes, I do.
All right, well, don't go away, Radio Rehab. We have to take a break and hear from some of our sponsors, and we'll be back and get a discussion going here with Terry. We are back on Radio Rehab, just hearing from Terry, who is from Henderson, Kentucky, and has strong AA and NA bonds there in Henderson, Kentucky, and is now working as a certified home health aide, and just shared her story with us about her demise in the substance abuse arena and now recovery. So call in, ask questions. If you have any comments or sharings, we're ready to have a discussion at this point. So, Terry, I want to ask you something. At 18, 19 years old, you didn't even do any mood-altering chemicals through high school, it sounds like.
No, I did not. My parents were very, very strict. We had to be in at certain times. You know, they just...
So they kept an eye on you.
They kept an eye on all three of us girls, you know. And today, I can say maybe I don't want to justify my use of drugs and alcohol, but they were so strict on us and we couldn't really go nowhere That's why we never got to try out anything. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have done it, but if they had gave me that space, then I probably would have jumped out at an early age and used the drugs and alcohol.
Well, you know, maybe that's why college is such a high-risk time, because it's the first time these young kids still, young adults, but they're still kids, are out in the free world to explore the world of substances.
Yep.
So was it just that alcohol and marijuana became available to you as a young adult, or did you go out looking for it?
It just came available to me, in which my mom and dad, they were not drinkers or anything like that. So it was peer pressure a lot and hanging out with those people.
So did you start out trying to be moderate, or were you married
to
it?
Yes, I did start out to be moderate and keep it under control, but I also have a grandfather that was an alcoholic, so I guess it's hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the genetics.
Yes, the research shows that if you have a parent or grandparent that had alcoholism or an addictive disorder, you're 4 times more likely to develop one than somebody that doesn't have a parent or grandparent. So did you have a high tolerance from the start? You could put a lot away?
Yes, I could, but seemed like it progressed more and more as I, kept using, you know.
So in your head, was it just, this is what everybody does at my age?
I thought it was okay to be cool.
Right. Smoke some pot, drink, get drunk a little bit.
Yes.
So then what happened? Because crack cocaine is a big jump from marijuana and alcohol to crack cocaine.
I was dating a guy, and he was a drug dealer, and it was right there for me. And I started out tooting powder, and then it led to smoking it.
Oh, we got somebody. Hold on a second. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
I'm Randall Vinson. I'm Terry's dad.
That's my dad.
Oh, wow. You must be proud of your girl. So you're her dad.
Yes, I am. And she's doing a wonderful job now. And I have a lot to be thankful for. So we have to thank God for all of that.
Yes.
And I appreciate the station over there. Let her come over and talk. I think that's a great inspiration to her. So y'all just keep up the work.
Would you come over with Terry next time? Because we sure need to talk to parents. These parents don't know what to do with their kids when they go astray.
Sure. Be glad to.
Any 1 minute, 2 minute piece of advice to the parents in our audience that have daughters like Terry that they know are going the wrong path?
Well, I think that you have to continue to show them your love.
Yeah.
And keep praying for them. Eventually, you have to just turn them over to God and let God have His way with them. I think the task is just too big for us to deal with.
I think you're right.
And, you know, I'm working for the circuit judge here in Henderson in the courtroom as a bailiff.
I
deal with this every day. And Terry will tell you that, you know, at one time I had her arrested because I knew that she didn't need to be out there in that world, and I was concerned that she was going to end up, you know, somebody called me in the middle of the night saying, your daughter's dead, you know. So I loved her enough that I wanted to do that for her.
Wow. You know, that does take a heck of a lot of courage and love for a parent to do that, but I think parents sometimes have to bring in other help.
They do. That's true. But I just want her to know that I'm proud of her.
Well, we appreciate you calling and sharing so honestly with the community, and we'll get you back in with Terry next time. We sure need to talk to the parents.
And tell my brother he and I said hello.
Oh, isn't he great?
Him and I are just like brothers. We are just as close as my own brother.
Oh, that's great. We'll tell him for sure.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good day.
You too.
That's my dad.
That's your dad.
Yes.
So you're proud of him and he's proud of you.
Yes, I'm very proud of my dad. Out of everything I've done to my parents, I can never repay him. But the only thing I can do is change my life and keep doing what I'm doing and be there for them now.
So, and, Terry, when you were out there using, do you think kids even think about what they're doing to their parents?
No, we don't think about that, and we don't see the hurt and the pain because they cover it up. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, I've seen the hurt and pain in my mom and dad's eyes. Mm-hmm. I've seen my dad when they locked me up with tears rolling down his face. That was the hardest thing I've ever had to go through also. But it's just, all I can say is I know today that God already had planned this out for my life to go like this. You know, which I choose to call my higher power, you know, he has all our lives planned out. And, you know, all it is a learning experience for me. All I can do is just reach sure. out and hope I can help one alcohol or addict today.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this while we're on this subject from your dad calling. Do you recommend that parents do get the law involved if they're afraid their kid is at risk out there on the streets? Oh, we got another caller. Wait, answer that question first.
Yes, I do. And it's just to save their life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can say that
caller, we're coming to you.
I can say that my dad saved my life today with the help of my higher power, and I'm okay with that. I know he was doing it out of love.
Great answer. Thank you. Hi, caller.
Good morning, Lisa.
Kathy? Etta?
This is Etta.
Hi, Etta. I knew it was one of you two. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question for the young lady, Terry.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, what did you do? What drew you to change your life? What point did you come to? Did you reach a bottom that, you know, that you just, you know, what happened that you wanted to change your life and you wanted to give up the drugs and alcohol?
For number one, I was sick and tired. I felt like I had reached my bottom and I had got to the point where if I didn't get some help and change my life, that I was going to eventually kill myself. That was rock bottom for me. I didn't want to be here no more. I didn't want to be a part of the community. I was tired of people looking at me and judging me and talking about me. And I know we shouldn't worry about what people say, but, I mean, with my daddy being in the position that he's in, that's kind of embarrassing to him and my family. So I had just reached my rock bottom. I just didn't want to live.
I understand. Okay. So what did you do? I mean, how did you get help? Did you call somebody or did your parents, you know?
It was all up to my parole officer. He told me, and I cried out for help. I went in there and I told my parole officer, I can't stop. I need help. Will y'all please help me? And I have been to this last treatment center I went in, the Women's Addiction Recovery Center. That was a long-term treatment center for me. I have been in and out of treatment centers for 14 days, 30 days. It wasn't long enough for me. Mm. It was not long enough. I needed some real hardcore recovery. And I needed somebody to be hard on me. And that's what I got.
Right. Well, that sounds really good. Well, it sounds like that you've turned your life around and you're doing the next right thing. So keep up the good work. And I just want to say God bless you. And Lisa, it's good hearing from you.
Etta, you're working in the field now yourself. So I think from what Terry is saying, you be tough on folks. And I know you will. They don't need us to be all gentle and soft. They need the tough love. I think that's Terry's message.
That's true.
Yeah. We're seeing too much coddling going on anymore.
Absolutely. And like I said, you can't be just soft on these people and just let them do what they want to do and pat them on the back
right.
and know it's okay. You know, you got to show them tough love. That's what it's all about. Because if you don't show tough love, then they figure that they can just, you know, do this same thing over and over again. But you got to put your foot down and, you know, let them know that, hey, you got to have some structure and some discipline in mm-hmm. your life if you want to be clean and sober. I mean, you have to work for it.
Absolutely.
And it is hard work, mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Okay, well, I just want to say thanks a lot, Terry. Keep up the good work, and you guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it is hard work, isn't it? The phone is ringing off the wall, Terry. You're popular today. I don't even get to ask you any questions. Before we got called, and I'm glad people are calling, you were going to tell us what took you from alcohol and marijuana to such a leap into crack cocaine. You said you met a guy. Do you think that's usually what it is with most girls? They meet a guy?
Yeah.
Hold on, caller. We're coming.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, I just have to watch who, you know, I just got to watch my surroundings.
Mm-hmm. We had kids on here last week from the Castle Teen Power, and they've never drank or drugged, but they said exactly the same thing. It's all who we associate with.
Yep.
Caller, hi.
Hi, my name is Antonia Smith. I'm actually Terry's starter.
Oh, you are, my God, she's got family everywhere. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thanks for calling. So what's it like to have a mom like this?
I can say that I've been there the whole time that she was going through her addiction, and she is an amazing
yes.
woman. She has came so far, and I'm so proud of her today.
How old are you, honey?
I'm 23.
My God, you're a baby. She was already into crack cocaine at 23.
Yes.
So how do you do with all that?
I've made amends with her. I try to stay beside her and do what's best for her. I never let her down. I try to be there beside her, but if she needs anything or feels like she's going to have a weak moment, I try to be there for her, so I'm really proud of her.
So you two have had an honest, good, open relationship now.
Yes.
Your strength for each other.
Yes. That's my best friend.
Oh, what a compliment for a mother.
You're my best friend, too.
But she ain't going to enable you. Well, thanks for calling in, honey. I'm going to just have the whole family on here. Your grandfather called, and now you called. Your mom's here. It'd be cool to have a discussion with the whole family.
Sure, I would love that.
We'd love to have you, because it really does affect the whole family, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's very hard whenever you're growing up as a teenager and your mom's out there and you don't know if she's alive or what. And then whenever she finally changes her life around, you know, that's when you see the good.
Could you talk to anybody about it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you did as a teenager? You had people you could go to?
Yes, ma'am.
That's good. That's good. What a horrible life, though, that fear of death illuminating over you.
Right.
Mm. Well, thank you for calling in. Your mom is pretty cool, isn't she?
She's awesome.
She does
a good word.
It works. Well, thanks, honey.
Thank you.
We'll meet you soon.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
You too.
Wow. Did you know in the midst of it all how much support you had?
Yeah, I know I had a good support group behind me. It's just I had to make it up in my mind and my heart that I wanted to do it. And
so, Terry, the drug just literally hijacks your brain, doesn't it? That
yes.
cocaine is... But you've never done cocaine if you hadn't have been drunk and stoned on pot.
Right. And, you know, I'm married. I've been married for 3 years now. And
Oh, my God, look out. He's going to be calling, too.
I can say my husband, he was one of my biggest enablers, you know, and... You know, that's kind of leery of the marriage, but that's okay. I mean, long as we keep God first and stay on the right track, you know.
Boy, being in relationships is hard work.
It
anyway.
Sucks.
Is your husband in recovery?
No, he's no. not.
So,
I think he's drank a little bit, but he don't do anything.
Yeah.
No, he's not addicted to anything.
Does he understand what you have to do to stay clean?
Yes, he does.
That's good.
When it comes down to me going to my meeting, I'll tell him, you can sit at home. I'm going to my meetings.
Has he ever gone with you?
Yes. He was a big part of my recovery when I was in treatment. Now he don't go to meetings as much, but...
But he was supportive when
he was very
it.
Supportive of me.
So you're all for spouses hanging in there with their...
Yeah, hang in there with them and give them a chance. You know, a lot of times out here in life, the ones that's, you know... One thing I can say, you know, a lot of people don't like to give us a second chance out there, but, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody's got skeletons in their closet, you know.
And who are we all to judge anybody?
That's right. And all I can say is, you know, give them a chance.
Yeah.
Give us second chances out there. We need them.
Good word for us to go into our next break about. Keep giving people chances. And maybe you could say a little, Terry, real quick, but how do you draw the line between giving them another chance and enabling them to stay in their addiction?
All I can say is just, you know, tell them what they need to do, help them to get in their recovery, but turn around, give them that tough love. But also when they get their life changed around and straighten up, then be willing to give them another chance and let them go at their life.
So kind of detach with love, don't abandon with disgust.
Yes, that sounds about right.
Okay, well, let us go into another break at this point. Oh, wait, we've got a caller. I think we've got a minute before the next break. What do you think? Should we take it?
Yeah.
Okay, hi, caller.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. I am Terry's husband.
For God's sakes, I'm shutting the station down. This whole this girl's got some support in every corner, doesn't she?
Oh, yes, ma'am. She's a wonderful person.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we got to have you all on here in a couple weeks.
That'll be great.
I think our audience needs to hear from a whole family. We've got you, her husband, her father, her daughter, her. That would be a powerful radio rehab hour. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm great. Working every day and got God in my life, and I can make it.
Yes, absolutely. So this is, you know, men don't usually hang with women in an addiction. Women will stick with men through their alcoholism and addiction, but a lot of men give up on women that are addicted. What kept you going?
Well, I told her, you know, that, you know, I was sort of an enabler for her. What I mean by that, this was, I thought was a good thing. I would rather have her at home with me where I knew where she was.
Sure.
Then for her to be running in the street all times of night and something would happen during the night, you know, go berserk. So I would rather have her there with me knowing she's safe and sound than run in the streets.
Yes.
And, you know, through it all, the price. Yeah, it really worked wonders.
Oh, yes.
And I just never gave up on her. She's always in my prayers, and I love her dearly. And, you know, she's my hope.
Oh. What's your name?
Billy Armstrong.
Billy.
Yes, ma'am.
What a loving man you are. Well, you got us both crying in here. So you've always seen the spark of divine in her and hung in there with her. That takes incredible love and courage on your part, and we need more Billies in our lives, that's for sure. Thank you for calling in.
You're more than welcome. I just hope somebody out there, if you love a person enough to be with them, keep that love and try to help them get through the rough parts of their lives.
Thank you for that. What a great, great message on Race for the Cure Day. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Terry, wow. How do you handle all that love?
I enjoy it.
Yes.
Because some people don't have that. A lot of these families out here don't have that. And I know they can turn to drugs and alcohol to fill that void. So I have that. So I don't have to pick up.
You have a lot of it. Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We've got to take a break. We're going to come back and keep talking about love. Whew. Welcome back. We're having an incredible discussion with Terry and her father, her husband, her daughter, her entire family, and how they've dealt with her addiction and her recovery. And they're all going to come back, the whole family, the first Saturday of November. So that'll be an interesting radio rehab to hear from everybody in the family how they're affected by this. I want to also say today is Race for the Cure Day, and that's another disease that we have yet to find a cure for, but we've come a long way in improving the quality of life of people that have cancer. And our friend Marvelline really compares substance abuse to a cancer. It's sort of the same kind of illness with the same deadly consequences. And next weekend, it looks like in Henderson, Terry, in your neck of the woods, the 18th annual Tri-State AIDS Awareness Walk is going on at yes. Ellis Park in Henderson. So if anybody wants to participate in that, there's another disease that we're still a long way from finding a cure, but we have found a way to improve the quality of people's lives, identify if they are HIV. The AIDS Resource Group is an incredibly empowering, wonderful place to go for help if that's happening also. So there's just all these health-related illnesses, HIV, AIDS, cancer, alcoholism, addictive disorders, and all of them affect the family. So Terry, you had all this love, all this support. Do you think that increases the chance that you're going to stay clean and sober, or are you still at risk for relapse just like anybody else that has this disease?
At any given time, I can pick up and use a drug or drink or whatever. It's just, I think it's a mind over matter thing now. I don't have the desire to pick up and use today. Hope I never get it back. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I have to hit my knees in the morning when I get up and hit my knees at night before I go to bed and just say, you know, keep me clean through this, just this one day. That's all. And at times, you know, it comes down to 30 seconds. Maybe even seconds, you know, any given time I can pick up. I just choose not to. I mean, I look at the things now, all that money that I have spent on, you know, drugs and alcohol, I can be using that money to take care of my grandbabies. I can be using that money for myself, paying my bills.
For sure.
You know, and today I choose not to do that. Why am I going to get out here and dress the dealers and stuff like that? It's just not me.
Yeah.
I like to keep my money in my pocket and hold on to it and spend it on myself or grandbabies.
Yeah. But you're still at risk. Like any
yes, I am.
Person.
I'm at risk 24 hours a day.
The disease, just like cancer, heart disease, you got to change your lifestyle. And it sounds like you do.
I feed my disease daily.
With recovery.
Recovery. Like I said, I get on my hands and knees in the morning, at night before I go to bed, and I just try to stay around positive people that's going to help me better my life, mm-hmm. not to pull me down. I don't hang out with those people that's going to pull me back down where I came from, because they're not my friends.
You know, you're a certified home health aide now, and boy, do we need you. We need more people to go into the home and be there at that time with people. Do you sometimes think, wow, you know, those people would give anything if they had a disease that could be arrested, that you are able to arrest your disease and still live and have a quality life?
Yes, them people do, and it's really a rewarding job. I like that field that I'm in, and I wouldn't give nothing to stay right where I am today. But I look at those people when I walk in their homes, and I just have to think how grateful I am to be up walking around, to be able to talk, to be able to feed myself, bathe myself. Some people can't do that.
Right.
Some people have to lay in the bed 24 hours a day, being turned side to side. And I just thank my higher power for where I am today.
So, Tara, how do we get into the jails and keep our folks from having to go to prison that are addicted? What do you think we still need to do?
Continue to clean up the streets. It's just hard. I mean,
Do we need to go out in the streets? Do you think those of us in recovery need to do more so-called street work and not expect people to come to our offices or churches or synagogues? Do
we need to get out and basically, you know, maybe we need more good paying jobs also and help them. You know, if there was jobs, maybe they wouldn't be out there doing what they're
dealing drugs. Was that what motivated your guy that got you started with cocaine money?
It was basically an easy dollar, for real. And that easy money ain't good money to me.
I know a lot of kids I talk to that get caught up in the dealing. It's strictly economics. They want to take food home to their family, their parents, or, it's just very, so we're still very money-driven.
Yes, we are. So I just like to say, you know, I hope I touch somebody's heart or mind out there and they want to change their life today. It is a better way of living. Like I said, I wouldn't change nothing about my life today, nothing at all. I want to just stay right where I am. I want to do better and advance in my career, but I wouldn't change anything.
So it sounds like you know it's a day-at-a-time thing and you have to keep trying to get better every day. You're never totally cured.
I've got a disease for the rest of my life. Just like cancer, just like heart disease, whatever. I've got a disease and I have to feed it. And I do feed it.
So if people want to find you, Terry, I know they can go to the Weaverton 12-step meetings and Henderson.
Yes, in Henderson on Sunday morning. And also I attend First Baptist Church on 20 South Elm Street in Henderson, Kentucky. Also, we're having Women's Day October the 2nd at 11 a.m. If you feel free, come out and join in with us.
Is that in Henderson?
Yes, Henderson, Kentucky, 20 South Elm Street. And I just
want to find her on Radio Rehab, Facebook after the show.
Facebook after this show. Or if you want to talk to me, you can call me at 270-724-3611, and I will talk to you. It's not a problem. I'll share my story.
That's awesome. And I think your dad would talk to somebody, your daughter would talk to somebody, your husband. So Terry's family is available.
Yes, they are.
For those that need us.
We're just out here to help the world get better and help our communities.
That's very obvious. Thank you so much, Terry, for coming over from Henderson today and joining us on Radio Rehab with our own little race for the cure. I think we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing, no doubt about it.
Thanks, and it's been a rewarding thing to, you know, it cleanses my soul when I get to speak and share my story, so I've had a good cleansing today.
Yeah, and I know it's helped somebody out there. So if you all want to talk more to Terry, she gave you her phone number. You can get her on Facebook through Radio Rehab Facebook. You can call the station. Her CD and her story will also be on www.lisasifecares.net. So don't hesitate to reach out. There's no stupid questions. We want to be available for those that have any concerns.
I just want to say to my family, thank y'all for being there for me. I love the relationship that me and my sister has now. She's in recovery, and I love y'all, and I'm always going to be there for you. And for my community, thanks for having faith in me when I didn't have faith in myself, and thank you for supporting me.
Thank you, Terry, for coming and sharing, and thank you for your honesty and your heart.
And also I want to say thank you to my church family. I don't want to leave them out.
Lots of gratitude. Well, Radio Rehab, we have to wind it up for this week. This has been a great discussion, great show as always. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for calling in. And until now and next week, don't forget to do the next right thing.